Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. Father, this we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we're going to continue our teaching on the ministry gifts and their purpose. The ministry gifts and their purpose. So if you have found Ephesians, chapter 4, please go to verse number 11. And it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. We are continuing our teaching on the ministry gifts, not to get them confused with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are two different divisions. Now, we just read Ephesians 4:11. And it tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to his body, the church, the five ministry gifts. Now, I want you to notice something here that can't be overlooked if you don't be careful. We just simply read over this scripture. These gifts were not given by man or men, but were given by Jesus Christ himself, which means you can't call yourself to one of these ministries. God does the calling. Now, please go to Acts chapter 13. Again, that's Acts chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And it says, In the church that was at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they worshiped the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and sent them off. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. The ministry gifts are people. People who are called of God to the full-time ministry. Amen. Because we look at the scriptures that we just read, we see that the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. Man didn't say. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then he said, they sent him off after they had prayed and fasted. And so he sent them out by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it is God that does the calling for these ministry gifts. Amen. We have to remember, Philip was an evangelist. Peter was an apostle. Paul was called a prophet and teacher first, and later an apostle. There were other people in the New Testament that were called ministry gifts also. Those ministry gifts whom God calls, he equips with spiritual gifts. And let me repeat that because that's important. Those ministry gifts whom God calls, he equips with spiritual gifts. Whoever God calls for his purpose, he will certainly supply them with every need they need to be successful. Now, our last time together, we were discussing the apostle, or better known as the sent one, the messenger, or ambassador for the ministry gifts. The most significant statement of fact in the Bible regarding this office is that it was filled by Christ himself. Please go to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 3. And let's read verse number 1. And it says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Amen. So Jesus was not only the apostle, but also our high priest. Now go to the book of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 38 through 40. And this is Jesus speaking himself. And it says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." But the will of him who sent me. So Jesus was an apostle. Verse 39. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." So we see that God sent Jesus. And if technically the term for apostle means the sent one, so Jesus was the apostle. Amen. Jesus is the greatest example of a sent one. Now you are there in John. Let's go to chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 21. And it says, "So Jesus said to them again, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" So we see Jesus is telling the people, he says, peace to you. And just as Almighty God sent Jesus, Jesus is also sending us. Amen. Now, the corresponding Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which is, by definition, goes far beyond the freedom from war or of stopping of war, but signifies wholesome, nothing missing, nothing broken. So this shalom in the Hebrew language means nothing missing, nothing broken. So when they speak of the shalom, that means everything in your life is complete. Jesus has given to us his body, the church, his peace, his shalom. Nothing missing or broken, but complete prosperity in every area of our lives. Jesus wants us not only to prosper financially, but to prosper in our marriages, to prosper in our family, to prosper in our businesses or professions, to prosper in our bodies by living long, healthy lives, nothing missing, nothing broken. He wants us, his body, the church, to be blessed in all like manner. Amen. A true apostle is always one with commission, not one who merely goes, but one who is sent by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me repeat that. A true apostle is always one with commission, not one who merely goes, but one who is sent by the Holy Spirit. To stand in this office, one must have a deep personal encounter with the Lord and an ongoing spiritual strong relationship with him and his word, something beyond the ordinary. One must study, one must pray, one must fellowship with the Lord on a personal level where this personal encounter will grow into strength and you will continue to walk strong and by faith. Amen. Paul the apostle did not see Jesus in the flesh as the original 12 did, but he saw Jesus in a spiritual vision. Amen. Paul had a deep spiritual experience with the Lord. Even his conversion was beyond the ordinary. Please go to the book of Acts chapter 9. Again, that's Acts chapter 9. And let's look at this conversion, this spiritual experience that Paul had with Jesus. Acts 9, and we're going to read verses 3 to 6. And it says, as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Amen. So we see this experience that Paul had on his way to Damascus on the road. He seen the shining light, and there was a voice that spoke to him from heaven. Man, what an experience. How would you like to have an experience where a light is shown upon you from heaven and you have a physical, well, not necessarily a physical, but a verbal encounter with the Lord? Man, that's a be a wonderful experience. Amen. The New Testament never mentions missionaries, yet it is an important office. Amen. It never mentioned missionaries. Now, a missionary who is really called of God and sent by the Holy Spirit is an apostle. because a missionary is one that is sent out. Amen. The missionary will also have the ability of all the ministry gifts. Amen. He will do the work of an evangelist. He will get people saved. He will do the work of the teacher. He will teach and establish people. He will do the work of the pastor. He will pastor and shepherd people for a while. Amen. In studying the life of the Apostle Paul, you will discover that he never built on a foundation where somebody else have laid. He endeavored to preach the gospel where Christ was not named. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we're going to read verse number 20. And it says, "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." Amen. Because these ministry gifts are called by Almighty God himself, he is not going to have you to establish his church on another man's foundation. You know, I moved from Los Angeles to Kansas City, Kansas, back to start the ministry here. This is where the Lord told me to come to start this ministry. I could have just as well established a ministry in Los Angeles, but I would have been building on my father in the faith ministry, and it was no need for me to do that. He was already there. So I would not build on another man's foundation. And people that have called to the ministry, that have sat on the great men of the ministry, should not establish a church in their same region where their foundation has been established. They should go out and establish another ministry where Jesus Christ has not been taught. Be like the Apostle Paul. Now, many questions whether or not the office of the apostle even exists today. Many people question that, and pastors have said, I've heard them say, that the apostle office is not in function today. But thank God it does. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and let's see what the word of God says about it. See, we tend to want to listen to man rather than what God says about himself and the word. So Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verse number 8, and then we're going to read verses 11 through 13. And it says, verse 8, "Therefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." In verse 11, "And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, the question is, are apostles still in operation today? Well, yes, they are still in operation today. If we read the scriptures and we look at verse number 13, it says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So all these gifts, these ministry gifts, are going to be in operation until we all come to the unity of the faith. Amen. And the knowledge of the Son of God. If God has taken any of these ministries out of the list, the God would have told us that he gave them only just for a little while. You know, the scripture tells us very clearly that God is not the author of confusion. Don't you think God would have enough sense to put in this word to let us know that these gifts were only established for a little while? Because he knew that Satan will come with deception and start controversy in the body of Christ. But these gifts are still in operation today, because we have not all come into the unity of the faith. Amen. Look at the church today. Look how fragmented we are. Look at the schisms that we have in the body of Christ. Jesus is not coming back for this type of church. It says, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So until we all come into the unity and to the knowledge of the Son of Christ and be mature in the things of Christ, these gifts are still in operation. So don't let anyone tell you that these gifts are not still in operation, or ask them to prove it by the word of God. Amen. That's what you do. The word of God should be your standard in terms of what you believe and what you don't believe. Like I said, if God had taken any of these ministries out of the list, the Bible would have told us that he gave them just for a little while. All of these ministry gifts were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This includes apostles. Amen. Now, according to Ephesians 13, he didn't give us a time frame for these ministry gifts. Verse 13 said, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So to me, that means until we all come into one mind, one spirit, speaking the same thing. And we have not done that yet. Amen. And it's just amazing to me that while the body of Christ can't do it, we can come in agreement on everything else that deals with the world. But when it comes to the things of Christ, there's always confusion. Always confusion. You know the reason why? Because there's too many people that want to be the drum major. That's right. Instead of being in the band, they want to be the drum major. They want to be out front leading the band. And everybody can't lead the band. And everybody, you know what, that wants to be a leader, they shouldn't be a leader. They should be in the band, marching behind the drum major. Amen? Now, what are some of the characteristics of an apostle today? What are some of the characteristics of an apostle today? Well, he must first and foremost be a preacher or teacher of the word. He must be able to preach, and he must be able to teach. Now, a teacher don't necessarily have to be a preacher, but a preacher certainly has to be a teacher. He has to have a deep personal experience of the word of God. Amen. A deep personal experience of the word of God. He must have the power and the ability to establish churches. He must have the power and the ability to establish churches. He must be able to provide adequate spiritual leadership. That's important. Spiritual leadership. A man that knows exactly the assignment that God has given him and be the leader in that assignment. Remember this, and I think this is very important. It says, don't get hung up on names and titles. See, a lot of people like to get hung up on names and titles because they think that makes them. They think they're above everybody else. If God had called you, then it doesn't matter what anyone else says. God rewards faithfulness. Amen. Let me repeat that. God rewards faithfulness. And it doesn't matter what anybody else say. He doesn't reward offices. Higher offices do not receive any more reward. There is just a greater responsibility for that particular office. God rewards faithfulness. Are you faithful to his word? Are you faithful to the people that he has given you in charge of? Amen. That's what he rewards. The only thing you're going to hear is, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He's not going to say, well done, thy good apostle. He says, faithful servant. So you have to be faithful into the things of God. Amen. And that is what our Heavenly Father rewards. He rewards faithfulness. Amen. Now, the next ministry gift is the prophet. And a prophet is an authoritative teacher of God's will and word. He is an authoritative teacher of God's will and God's word. You heard the expression, thus says the Lord. Well, God has promised to raise them up from among the chosen people, qualifying them by putting his words in their mouths, enabling them to speak all that he commanded them, and maintaining the authority of his words, which they should speak, sent by the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what? I am just about out of time for today's teaching on the ministry gifts and their purposes. But please join us next week when we continue our teaching on the ministry gifts. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.